So Jesus Christ, our Lord, which means boss, master, commands you in Luke 14:33, any one of you who does not renounce all he or she has cannot be my disciple. So we're on week four of a six-week series, and we're exploring these seemingly impossible to obey commands of Christ to sell all you have and give to the poor, leave everything behind and come follow me unless you can't be my disciple. And these are quotes from Jesus. And we cannot wiggle out of them. We must not minimize them. We must not justify lesser obedience to them. Our only response that pleases God, that makes an eternal difference in this present world, and that grants us a grand welcome into Jesus Christ's new earth kingdom, is wholehearted, unreserved, fully surrendered obedience. So I implore you, there's all different ways we can minimize and run and justify. We can hide behind theological disagreements with Pastor Platt. There's all these ways we can run from the conviction, but the only godly response to this study is conviction. Deep conviction and great joy. Because we get to participate in the mission of God. Right? We get to participate. So let's do a review of the series so far. So if you've been following the sermon series, you have heard me try to balance out Pastor Platt's more black and white manner of presenting these same truths. And so you've heard from me that the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of eternal life on Christ's earthly kingdom has absolutely nothing to do with how well or poorly you obey the commands of Christ. Your response to Christ's command to a God's kingdom first lifestyle is not a salvation issue. All right? I've heard some confusion on that. Take salvation off the table. Salvation is God's choice to you before the foundation of the world, and if you respond to that by Holy Spirit-enabled grace, it's a done deal. Right? This is a how well do you want to please God issue. This is a how much do you want to bless others issue. This is a how much riches do you want forever versus having your full reward now issue. You've also heard from me that these hard commands of Christ are not a have-to, they're a want-to. They're not duty, they're delight. They're not legalism, they are driven by our love of God and our love for the least of these. And you've heard me say that you can obey these commands because there happens to be someone living inside of you. Who might that be? The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. And you've heard that how each of us respond to Christ's abandon all for God's kingdom call to obedience is different in different seasons of life. And so in some seasons, you can give more of your time and money, and in other seasons, less. But regardless of what season you're in, the challenge, the call, the command, the empowerment is every one of us can always give a little more. We can always live well below the standard of living we could live in order to free up more time and money for kingdom purposes. Yes. Again, the Holy Spirit-enabled response to this material is this. Wow. If I just live a little bit more sacrificially, I can feed one more poor person. I can rescue one more little girl out of human trafficking. I can prevent one more child dying from a preventable disease. You see? It's yes. Now, even though all this is true, because obedience is a joy issue, it doesn't soften the blow that Christ calls all of us to love Him, serve Him, obey Him, prioritize the kingdom above all other pursuits, all other desires, all other relationships. That's still hard. Christ makes it shockingly clear in Matthew 10:37, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And being a follower of Christ is not supposed to be easy. It's full of true joy, not the emotion of happiness, yes, but not easy. This is why Christ demands in Luke 14:27, whoever does not bear his or her cross cannot be my disciple. And so I've been challenging you, for those of you that get my pastoral emails and in the class, the Holy Spirit-enabled response to this study, I believe, is daily praying these two prayers. Christ my Lord, Father God, is there any possession or attitude or behavior or relationship you want me to give more fully over to you? Blessed Trinity, is there any local or national or global ministry or missions you want me to become part of or to give a little more to? And you pray those prayers every day, and then you listen. And you listen. And you listen. And you let the Holy Spirit shape your desires and to bring you into more intimacy and partnership with the Trinity. So today we're going to have a town hall meeting, and you all are going to enter into a season of reclaiming your missional focus. And Grace Point simply is at a place where it needs to rethink how you can make the best use of your declining yet still fully adequate resources for maximum kingdom impact for the next 5 years. And as you do so, please keep the main thing. And our Bible passage today reveals the main thing. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would silence all other voices but the voice of the Holy Spirit. Any voice of shame, any voice of false guilt, any voice of the evil one, any voice of justification or minimization or legalism, you just silence all those voices and let us only hear your voice today through your word so that it is received as the joy of obedience in which we can receive it. So speak to us and give us obedient hearts in Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, you may have already turned your Bible to the passage as in the bulletin, Matthew 28:18-20, very, very familiar passage. Bible passage today is often referred to as the Great Commission, right? When you're hired for a job, what do? You get a job description. You get a position description that details all of your responsibilities. Matthew 28 is the church's and your individual's job description. So let's read Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came to them. So this is all the people gathered before he ascends back into his throne. And now to us today. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Glory. Therefore, because all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, says Christ, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you, always, to the very end of the age. So this is our marching orders. This is the central purpose of why God saves you and calls you into a local faith community. This is our invitation to participate in the Missio Dei, the mission of God. And what is the mission of the Trinity? It is to reclaim and restore and to reconcile this planet, all its life forms, and humanity back under Christ's kingdom reign. Glory. And that's what you get to participate in. And so, the most important question we can ask as we rethink who we are and what we can do is, what does it mean to make disciples? That's your purpose. And when Christ first began his earthly ministry in human form, he also had a job description that is now our job description because he is the head, we're the body, we're carrying out his mission. That mission is in Isaiah 61 that Jesus Christ quotes in Luke 4, 18 through 19. It fleshes out what does it mean to make disciples? This answers that question. Luke 4, 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Right? So now we can flesh out, what does it mean to make disciples? It's a fivefold call in this passage, and then we have five requirements in our Matthew passage. The fivefold call of making disciples is this. We proclaim, we preach the good news to the poor. Which means, in other words, we care for the poor and for those impoverished in any way. We proclaim freedom for the prisoners. In other words, we bring freedom to those in any kind of physical, emotional, mental, sexual, or relational bondage. Three, we engage in recovery of sight for the blind. In other words, we tear down all strongholds of lies and deception in our heart and in others' hearts and in any of the world's philosophies, economics, or religions. Four, we release the oppressed. In other words, we fight for kingdom justice wherever there is oppression, such as racism, such as economic and educational inequality in our country and world, such as the dehumanizing of women in our media and in pornography. We fight for this. This is the gospel. This is what it means to make disciples. And then fifth, we proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In other words, we don't judge, belittle, shut out, condemn, look down upon, demand conformity before belonging, those who are not yet Christians, or those who are trapped in lifestyles that offend us, or they look or talk or act or smell different than us. If the gospel we are living and sharing is not received as good news, it's not the gospel. And most importantly, our position description from Isaiah, quoted by Jesus in Luke, makes it undeniably clear that the only way we can do any of this is through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Even Christ in human form could do nothing without the Holy Spirit. He operated in the same way you and I operate, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the power of his divinity. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me, says Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to make disciples of all nations. You can do this. Part of every job description or position description is how one's performance will be evaluated. It's the part we don't like, right? Our position description is the Great Commission. Who's our boss? So, Jesus is continually evaluating you personally, how you spend your time and money, and this church and every local congregation by the question, how well are you personally and Grace Point as a congregation making wholehearted disciples? And we ask ourselves. Peter Drucker, is a giant in the field of business, says that every organization must continually ask itself two questions. What business are we in? How's business? And so, what business is Grace Point in? Is it offering the best worship experience? Is it offering fun fellowship? Is it engaging in outreach? Is it having dynamic youth, young adult, or children's ministry? Is it supporting global missions? Is it offering Bible quality Bible studies? Is it growing in numbers? No. Grace Point as well as every Christ follower in every local congregation, is in the business of glorifying God by making wholehearted, passionate followers of Jesus Christ. And all those other activities only matter, they're only biblical to the degree that they are effectual in making wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. And so, you have a town hall meeting today. Maybe you'll choose to elect a task force. I don't know. And the two questions, this is my view, the two questions that you all need to ask, this task force needs to ask continually is, what business is Grace Point in, and how's business? Our Matthew passage gives us five requirements for your note takers. You already had the fivefold definition of making disciples. This is the five requirements, right? Nothing new here. Grace Point, like any team losing its edge, has to return to the fundamentals. Number one, Great Commission living requires the power and authority of Christ. Great Commission living requires the power and authority of Christ. Christ says, I have all authority, now go. If a president sends out an ambassador on a peace mission, he or she makes sure that ambassador has the full weight and authority of the office to broker whatever deal needs to be brokered. If a general sends out his or her troops, he makes sure, she makes sure, that those troops have every weapon they need to be victorious. You and I and the global church of Christ are sent on the most important peace mission ever. You and I are engaged in the most fierce and important battle ever because the human destiny of eternal souls is at stake. And we can do so, why? Because when we do so with the full power and authority of the throne of God on our side. You think we can do it? Two, Great Commission living requires making disciples of Christ, not decisions for Christ. Disciples, not decisions. Go make disciples is our mandate. The purpose of living and declaring the gospel is to make disciples, not one-time conversions. Our goal isn't to get people to say the sinner's prayer. Our goal is to make passionate, devoted followers of Christ. And making disciples is far more costlier of time and money. It is far more messier. It is far more inconvenient. Making disciples requires you inviting someone into your daily life to see how you model what it means to be a follower of Christ. And that's just messy. That's just inconvenient. And it doesn't happen through a program. It doesn't happen through a worship service. It doesn't happen through a fellowship time. It doesn't happen through an outreach event. It doesn't happen through an occasional coffee. It requires a long time commitment to enter into a soul care relationship with someone, entering all the mess and mystery and sin and shame and struggle of that person's life. Because of this, our number three is Great Commission living requires bringing people into soul care relationships. Christ calls us to baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is not talking about the event of baptism. It's talking about the fruit of baptism. To baptize someone is to bring that person into full active fellowship of the global church as expressed through a local congregation and into full intimacy with the Trinity. We've been calling that soul care relationships. Being in soul care relationships is not an optional thing. It's not a side, it's not a program. It's the very essence of what God is up to. And so this is why we spent the last 3 years studying soul care relationships. Why? Because living and offering soul care relationships, listen, is the most powerful and effective way to make disciples. Larry Crabb says, we cannot experience the love and joy of real life until we're connected to another at the level of our soul. We cannot know the level of freedom to be who we truly are until we yield who we really are to another and experience that person's acceptance. We cannot move into our world with other-centered energy and noble purpose as long as we remain alone, unknown, unexplored, undiscovered, and untouched. What people want most, what the unreached want most, is soul care relationships. Everything God is doing, has done, will do, is for the restoration of the humanity back into Trinitarian relationships with God and one another. Soul care community is the Great Commission. Remember Bill Hybels' walk across the room? 3 D's of making converts and disciples? Develop a friendship. discover their story, discern next steps. Soul care. Soul care relationships are how we make disciples of Christ. 4, Great Commission living requires daily saturation in God's Word. Right? Christ commands teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. Conversion occurs through the proclaiming of the Word of God. Transformation and healing occurs by daily saturation in the Word of God. And here's the thing I'm confident in. No matter what you all decide, no matter what Grace Point discerns, how it's going to downsize in order to do less but to do it best, I know that the one thing you will never change, never compromise on, never abandon is the proclamation of the entire Word of God. Right? Even if that's the very reason you stay small. Even if someday they bust down our doors and drag this pastor away to prison. We are not going to compromise on proclaiming the full Word of God. 5, Great Commission living requires daily filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to just say this 1,000,000,000 times when you're with me. Surely I am with you to the end of the age. Everything we do is done in and with and by and for through Christ. And when we forget that all ministry is a participation with and by and in and for Jesus Christ, we try to do it in our own power and we fail. What compels us to live Great Commission lives? 2 Corinthians 5:14, for Christ's love compels us. 2 more points in closing. Got to listen close to these. They're kind of tricky, right? Only those who make disciples of Christ are disciples of Christ. Right? That's what Jesus says. Now, American evangelicalism, which I am not a big fan of, has reduced discipleship to what? This conversion of spirits, of saying the sinner's prayer, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now listen, saying the sinner's prayer no more makes you a disciple of Jesus Christ than saying Semper Fi makes you a Marine. Right, Doug? What does it take to be a Marine? Well, I don't know. Here's what I read. You have to first go through really hardcore boot camp. Then you have to pledge unyielding faithfulness to the Corps in this country until death is required. You have to move out of your home and live on whatever military base they send you, and you have to leave behind your family if needed to go on a mission. It's the same thing with Jesus Christ. You cannot call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ until you pledge unyielding faithfulness to the global church and the God's kingdom until death if required. That you're willing to go through boot camp of intense lifelong equipping. That you're willing to move out of your home to serve in whatever church or mission Christ calls you to at any given time, and that you're willing to leave behind your family and friends to go on whatever duty God may call you to at any time. That's discipleship. If you can say you're willing to do that, you can call yourself a disciple. And so I ask, are you willing to do whatever it takes to retool Grace Point in order to refocus all it does on making wholehearted disciples? Even if it means Grace Point no longer does your favorite ministry. Uh-oh, now you're meddling. Even if it means you have to restructure your life in order to free up time to enter into messy, inconvenient, long-term soul care relationships. If you're willing to do that, I think there's great hope for Grace Point. So God gives us a choice because it's not a salvation issue, it's an obedience issue. You can choose. You can choose to settle for a joyless, unpleasing to God, unrewarded in eternity lifestyle by living like every other American. Your choice. Or you can choose to reject the American lifestyle and live a life that glorifies God, fills your soul with true joy, and matters now to the poor and the captive and the oppressed. Closing point, only disciples of Christ can make disciples of Christ, which is different than the other one. Only disciples of Christ make disciples of Christ. Only disciples of Christ can make disciples of Christ. Why? Because you will reproduce in the person you are discipling the kind of walk you have with the Trinity. Right? Now, sadly, the way many Christians live, we wouldn't want that reproduced. Right? Now, I'm not going to have much say in Grace Point's next five-year plan, and this is a good thing. It's the next plan that you all come up with has to be what you all hear God saying based on what you all can do best. And no pastor lasts forever. Nevertheless, I have to slip in a suggestion. Because you will reproduce in the lives of those you disciple the kind of relationship you have with the Trinity, it is that very reason that in this pastor's humble opinion that the best thing you guys can do is to enter into soul care discipleship relationships. You know why? Because you all are such a committed, God-loving, Trinity-glorifying, Christ-centered, Word of God-saturated, grace-poured, compassionate followers of Jesus Christ that if you start reproducing your lives into the other people's lives, it's a good thing. That's the best thing, Grace Point, you have to offer, is your godliness, your commitment, and your maturity to pour into the lives of others through soul care relationships. Grace Point's vision captures well already this wholehearted call. You guys ought to say this by memory. Our motto is to reclaim the captive, restore the wounded, redeploy the equipped. I encourage you to reclaim those three callings, the primary focus of your mission. Amen.